in troubled times, he shows
he can deliver.
Whatever the need, I go
to my provider.
And if cash gets low, I just good morning, good morning. This is Omar Shabazz here with an Islamic point of view, and we are welcoming you to this program this morning. We're going out on a powerful word, the word of Jesus, who says he will deliver those who are his believers. We want to thank JJ, as always, for being here to bring us this spirit, and we ask
Allah
that... enjoy our show this morning, and we send this out this morning to the family of our belated Imam, Imam Qasim Ahmed, who returned to Allah this past weekend, and we send the peace and the blessings and mercy and calm upon his family. Now enjoy one of his lectures here on the Islamic point of view.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha Shalom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا كيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعلمون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا والحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتابا مبينا وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشوني اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قائل شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو وملائكتي وأولو أمري إن الدين إن الله إسلام أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد Dear beloved believers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We have said in that opening, praise be to Allah, who has sent down upon his servant the book that is Quran, and there is nothing in it crooked. It is straight, upright, and explicit. And it serves as a warning to those who reject faith, those who do not believe in Allah. And it says that we give good news to those who believe and work righteousness to bring out of themselves the natural potential in them that Allah has created them for. And again, we said that all praise is due to Allah, who has obligated us to carry this book that is Quran and Kareem. Well, Allah says in the Quran, in this book, he says to the rejecters of faith, they have given up all hope on your religion. Don't fear them, fear me. This day, if I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and chose for you the religion of Al-Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, this is what Allah says in the Quran, he himself, Allah says, I bear witness. This is Allah saying this, that there is no God but me. And so do the angels and those men who possess knowledge. We witness that Muhammad is the servant of Allah. He is the seal of the prophets. And we ask that his peace and blessing be upon Muhammad, upon his family, and upon us, dear Muslims. This is a great day for us, dear Muslims. I want to say to you, welcome to the Islamic Convention of 2015. We thank Allah that we have the opportunity to convene really every week, but at least once a year, where believers come and congregate and belong to one another. It is important to us to understand that the Quran is what calls us together. There's nothing here more important than us being here, being called by the Quran. You can't hear me? Can y'all hear me back there? There's nothing more important. I thought it was loud. I heard myself up here. There's nothing more important that calls us to this faith than the Quran. It is our guidebook. It is the book that will not only be the guide for humanity as long as this earth exists, it will be the guidance for this earth here, and it will be the guidance for your soul continually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want you to know this, and I know you do, but we cannot just say Allahu Akbar and not register what this means in our life. Imam Warafuddin Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi, he said that every creature has his mode of worship. Every creature, every creation has his mode of worship. And he said, I want to say creation, he said, because we just say creature, it's limited. But when you say creation, it includes everything. Every planet has its mode of worship. The space has its mode of worship. The light, the darkness, everything has a way it worships Allah, meaning it is obeying Allah. And when we say Allahu Akbar, this call that Allah is greater, greater than what? Anything that you bring to your mind, Allah is greater than that. And it's a stop sign. It's a stop sign. What does that mean, a stop sign? It calls your attention. It calls your attention. And the attention that it calls you to is that you are to obey Allah. And you are to obey Allah by being able to read what is in the environment. Now, there's three things that Imam Muhammad spoke about: attention, obedience, and reading. Please remember that. A-O-R. Attention, obedience, and reading. So when we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, right away you have to stop to pay attention. And the next thing that comes to your conscience is, I have to obey Allah. That's next. And then reading. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first command that he got was what? Read. Iqra is a command, not an advisory statement. It was a command. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. The command is at the beginning, but the object of what is to be read is at the end of that verse. He said it's khalaq, creation. Reading the creation. Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was always reading. You know, people say he could not read, he was not reading. I said, no, he was a reader. He was already reading the creation, reading the environment. And his reading of the creation was systematized upon the nature in which he was creating it, of excellence, which he never abandoned. This is important to remember. And he
Now this is the Paul who has rewritten the life of Jesus Christ and said to us, one, Jesus said, I came not to change and alter the law. Whose law? The law of Moses. Not one jot nor one tittle till heaven and earth shall pass away. No one must change or alter the law, for anyone that does so is the least in the sight of God. That's what Jesus said. Now Paul said he came with a new covenant. Paul said he came with a new testament. Paul said he came to the Gentiles, and that they no longer had to, those that followed Paul, they no longer had to observe the law of Moses. What was the law of Moses? The Ten Commandments. They no longer had to. They could eat pig's meat. The Jewish people today, following the law of Moses, they can't eat pig's meat. So how could Paul change that law and tell them they could eat pig's meat? Paul said they didn't have to circumcise. All Muslims, all Jews, all of those that follow the prophets are circumcised. How is it that Paul said they don't have to be circumcised? Paul said they didn't have to observe the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is one of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, when they asked him about, Jesus said, do you know which is the greatest of all the commandments? What commandments was he talking about? He's talking about the commandments of Moses. He said, do you know which is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. This is what Jesus said was the first of the commandments. Because that commandment from Moses was, Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt not worship anyone except the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not bow down to any graven images in the heavens or in the earth or in the sea below. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God, and thou shalt not worship any gods along with him. That was the first of the commandments. But Paul said we didn't have to observe that commandment. And it was through the epistles of Paul that Constantine, later on, 300 years later, he decided to reconcile this new Jesus at the Council of Nicaea. To be specific, in the year 354, it was Constantine that reconciled Paul's Jesus from the historical Jesus and decided that he would go with Paul's Jesus and kill everybody else. And that's where the Trinity was born. That's where the incarnate God was born. That's where the atonement was born. That's where the idea of Jesus Christ being crucified, dead and buried for 3 days and coming back was born. This is where the idea of Jesus being God was born, because Constantine accepted that idea. Because Constantine had already deified his father as sole evictus. And that's how December the 25th became the birthday of Jesus, although Jesus could not have been born December 25th, because that would have been the winter in Lebanon. And anyone here that is from Lebanon will tell you September the 25th is probably snow in the ground. So why would they have a baby in the manger when there's snow on the ground? But that was the date of the sole evictus. And that's when they changed the Sabbath from Saturday, from Yom al-Sabt, Yom al-Sabt. All the Arabs in this room know Yom al-Sabt, the Sabbath, is Saturday. So how did the day of worship for the Christians become Sunday? Because that was the day of the worshiping of the sun. And that's the day that Constantine worshiped. And that's where they took the name of Jesus and changed the Sabbath and made it into Sunday. And moon day, Monday, and Tuesday, Tyr, another god, and Wednesday, another god, and Fours Day, another god, and Friars Day, another god. All gods of the Romans and the Greeks. What did I have to do with Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing. So a new covenant was born through Paul and the collaboration and the official documentation of Constantine, who then assigned an official bishop of Rome. That bishop of Rome became the official pontiff of the Catholic Church. And so today, that's why the Pope is called the Pontiff. He's called the shadow of God on earth. Whose shadow? Who's God? The God of Paul, the God of Constantine. Certainly not the God of Jesus. Now, Paul, through his writings, set up a nefarious situation that virtually stamped out, wiped out, imprisoned, tortured, killed, eliminated all of the Unitarians, because those that followed Jesus Christ were called Unitarians. That means they were subscribing to one God. And what happened to the Unitarians? They were thrown to the lions. They were thrown to the lions until they were gradually eliminated. Then Constantine made Christianity the official religion. Why? Because he made a distinction between the Nazarenes and the Christians. If you were Christian, you were cool. If you were Christian, you were official. If you were Christian, you could be assimilated. If you were Christian, you were Constantized. If you were acceptable, if you embraced the Pauline doctrine, then you became a Christian. And Christian then became an antithesis of the Nazarenes. It also became an antithesis of the life and the message of the historical Jesus. This new evolution, this new faith system, officially adopted by Constantine, the Roman Emperor, the establishment of the Church of Rome, and the subsequent Christology that has developed. I said Christology. Now, what is Christology? Christology is the scientific, systematic dramatization and mythological replacement of the historical Jesus. That's what Christology is. Because if we want to love Christ and follow Christ, we have to follow the real Christ. We have to follow, find, and subscribe to the historical Christ. The issue is, who is willing to follow the historical Christ? And even after you receive the information, some of you are angry right now. If you had some rocks, you'd probably stone me right now. Some of you might want to invite me outside to beat me up. You might want to stand up where you are and just say, "You're a liar. I don't care what you say. Jesus is God." And you're going to continue saying that. Because change is difficult. The Five Gospels is a 550-page book containing translations of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 550 pages of four people who we don't know what their last names were. Matthew who? Mark who? Luke who? And John who? Secondly, 82% of those 550 pages, 82%, they are not the words of Jesus Christ at all. Khalid didn't say that. Christian scholars of 364 denominations, they said that 82% of the 550 pages of the Gospels, they are not the words of Jesus Christ at all. And the way they have determined that and showed that to you and I is that in the New Testament, they have done something called the Red Letter Bible. How many of you have seen the Red Letter Bibles? Be honest. Those are the Bibles where whatever Jesus said himself is in red letters. How many of you have seen that Bible? Yes. And you will find for yourself that only 20% of what is in the New Testament is written in red. That's allegedly what Jesus Christ said. Biblical scholars and theologians alike have learned to distinguish the Jesus of history from the Christ of faith. It has been a painful lesson for both the church and scholarship. The distinction between the two figures is the difference between a historical person who lived in a particular time and place and a figure who has been assigned a mythical role in which he descends from heaven to rescue humankind and, of course, eventually returns back to heaven. We want to continue to review the words of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ said, "And this is the life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John 17:3. "That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and Jesus Christ said in John 20:17, "To a woman, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So by Jesus Christ's words, he's a prophet of Nazareth. He's a prophet of God. He's a man that eats and drinks. He's a man sent by God. He is the Son of Man. Man meaning human. He's the son of a woman, Mary, who was pure and untouched, chosen by God to have a son through phenomenal birth. Now we want to examine a totally different view of Jesus as taught and represented by St. Paul, the father of the modern church. In doing so, we will talk about the New Covenant, the New Testament, and what has inevitably become a new religion built around a new Christ and a new Jesus. Now let's make reference to Paul himself. By his own admission, Paul said that I was on my way traveling on the road to Damascus. That's what Paul said. Now when he was on that road traveling to Damascus, what was he doing? Paul said, "I was on a mission to capture or to kill or trap Christians." Because Paul, or at that time his name was Saul of Tarsus. Saul was a bounty hunter. And what was his hunt? What was his prey? It was Christians. Paul used to trap them, bind them, hold them, arrest them, and deliver them to the Romans to be jailed and killed for a price. Now, on one of those excursions, Paul said that he was on the road to Damascus, and he was riding on a horse along with some other people, and he said he heard a voice, but the other people didn't hear it. He said he saw a light, but the others didn't see it. And he fell off his horse, but the others didn't fall off their horse. And Paul said that in a vision he saw Jesus Christ, and Christ revealed to him, "Paul, Paul, why do you persecute the church? Paul, I have selected you to be an apostle to the Gentiles." Now that is the only time that Paul said he saw and talked to Christ. But those that was with him, they didn't see Christ. They didn't see the light, and they didn't hear the voice, and they didn't fall off their horses. But at best, Paul saw something. We cannot deny that Paul saw something.
But you have been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial, Portland. We invite you to stay tuned every week here on KBOO Sunday morning for An Islamic Point of View. This morning's lecture began with Imam Qasim Ahmed's beautiful lecture. We apologize for its interruption, but I pray that you have enjoyed why Paul changed the Christian religion from Imam Khalid Yasin. We now invite you to stay tuned for Pathways. This program has been a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland, located at 5325 North Vancouver Avenue. Thank you, peace be upon you, and may the mercy of Allah and the blessing of Ramadan be on all of the Muslims. Ramadan Mubarak.
صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه. Join us on Sunday, June 2nd from 2 to 4 p.m. for KBOO's 51st birthday party and birthday cake potluck. Bring a birthday cake if you can and celebrate the existence of 51 wonderful years of grassroots, volunteer-run, independent community radio serving Portland, Cascadia, and the world. KBOO is an independent, member-supported